Okay. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Yeah, before I got saved, when I was a Roman Catholic, if you didn't go to Christmas, if you go to church at least Christmas and Easter, then maybe you're not saved. Of course, then I got saved. I became a Baptist. If you don't go to church every Sunday, maybe you're not saved. From a hell hole to a hypocrite hole. They're both a rabbit's hole. Look with me in Luke chapter 2. Man, it's just good to be saved. Say amen. It is so good to be. I mean, I appreciate the day off, holidays. I wish I'd have more holidays. You get paid not to work, and at least I do. Maybe some people don't here if you're working on your own business or whatever, but it sure makes it even more enjoyable. Luke. Now, the most common passages to turn when it comes to the nativity scene are Matthew 1, Matthew 2, or Luke 1, Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2 here. And we'll backtrack. We'll read verses 1 to 7. We're going to backtrack. The order of the chronology of the conception and birth of Jesus Christ, right, in the early years of his life, they go Luke 1, then Matthew 1, then Luke 2, then Matthew 2. You just write that on one of your areas, and you can get the chronology. That's the order. So we're on the Luke 2 section. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 7. Should be somewhat familiar to you. Verse 1. So, here goes the scriptures, right? Ready? And it came to pass in those days. So, we're getting ready to watch and read about the very first Christmas. So it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So it's like a 80-90 mile trek. And so it was that while they were there, so they're there in Bethlehem, oh, verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, oh, being great with child. What a polite, beautiful way of saying she's ready to give birth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She's got a baby. She got a baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now look at the second half of this verse. That's plenty of information, but then he just interjects this right in here. That's what we want to look at. Because, so this is why the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. So we want to just take a pause today, get the history of this, and I'm just going to read two simple points. We want to stop and check out the no room inn, because that's what this is. Why'd God have them go there? Lord, I pray that you'd help us, you know, kind of put some thoughts together as we run through some scriptures and bring out some things that even now might keep us from really, really celebrating the wondrous miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ and what it really means. And I just pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech, openness of heart within the congregation, the Spirit of God move, and drive home within all of us this joyous occasion that is something we should celebrate even deeper than we have in the past. It doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to us. This I say and ask in Christ's name. Amen. 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 So if God knows everything, and he does, why does he bring them to the, what's the purpose of bringing them to the no room inn? Wants them to check out at the no room inn. I just find that amazing. Now there's different people say this isn't really an inn, it's a guest chamber, because in another place in the Bible it's translated guest chamber. I don't want to get into all that. He calls it an inn, so it's an inn. And God knows why he would have people use the word guest chamber or the word inn. In another place he talks about an inn, that whole Good Samaritan thing. He brings them to an inn. But this wasn't just a guest chamber. This was an inn, and there was no room there. And I realized there was family and everything else, and he didn't want to go. This was kind of an incognito event. You'll see why. This was, to some extent, it was an embarrassment to Joseph, not fully understanding what's going on right now. Sometimes you might be embarrassed, not fully understand what God's doing in your life. Not recognizing that he knows everything. So there's a reason. And it might tie into whatever you're going through. It might tie into having to check out the no room inn. What's he going to show him there? Now, there's many myths surrounding the Christmas story and the nativity scene, and that's not the purpose of what I want to get into today. You know, you have a coloring book, and you have you have the outline of things you're going to color in a coloring book. And even today, my wife loves coloring and painting. And as long as you stay within the boundaries, you have endless variations of colors you can choose. And that's the liberty and license standing behind a pulpit. As long as you don't break the bounds that are defined in the scripture, that's it. Beyond that, you can sneeze all you want. Amen. Merry Christmas to you too, sister. Amen. And so we're just going to want to stay within the boundaries. I'm going to take some license on how I perceive certain things. And it's not a myth or an error in the Bible. Never is it an error or myth in the Bible. But some people maybe incorporate certain things that just aren't so. And as long as you stay within the confines of the depiction in Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 1, Luke 2, you're fine. Amen? You got to make some decision choices yourself. So the conception and birth of Christ begins in Luke 1, goes to Matthew 1. Then it goes to Luke 2, then it goes to Matthew 2. Let's get to Luke 2 from Luke 1. In Luke 1, you have Elizabeth, who is the cousin to Mary, in Jerusalem, some 80, 90 miles away, because Mary and Joseph live in Nazareth, northern part of Israel, and she's right there in the middle. And Elizabeth is a little bit older in years, and she conceives, gets a message from, or to her husband that gets a message, and that she's going to conceive a son that she's been trying to have, and eventually that's going to become John the Baptist, who's related to Jesus Christ. Because Elizabeth is related to Mary, their cousins, so they're cousins. And, you could kind of get the somewhat of the date configuration with the birth of Christ due to the priestly order, calendar order of when, you know, he was there. It was the eighth cycle or something. I don't want to get into that. But you have John the Baptist has announced that he's going to be born. And then right after that in Luke 1, that same angel Gabriel, sometimes he's busier than other times. Amen? I mean, this guy's been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years before God had another specific mission for him. Nobody knows what he was doing before, doing a lot, and praising God, all that kind of business. But it's like God got something for him to do. He leaves Daniel over there in the book of Daniel, and now God says, I want you to go talk to Elizabeth and her John while he's in the temple. I want you to tell him certain things. I haven't forgotten about him. I haven't forgotten about you. Christmas, there's something special coming your way this Christmas. And so then he said, now I want you to go to Mary. I want you to go to Mary, and I want you to tell Mary that she's gonna give birth to a supernatural son. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm a virgin. How am I going to do that? I've never. And, he tells her this, and she says, okay, I got it. And she immediately she gets up, and she goes to where her cousin is. She's up in Nazareth, and she goes to Jerusalem, and it's like, man, the very first real Christmas? Is that what you're talking about? Now I'm going to be part of that. I'm going to be giving birth to the Messiah, the man-child that's been promised ever since Genesis chapter 3, that a seed's going to come from a woman, and I'm going to be that. That's what you meant when you said that it would be a miraculous virgin birth? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's you. And she says, okay, and she runs to see her, she runs down to see her her cousin Elizabeth, who by this time is about 6 months pregnant. Why? Well, back then they didn't have ultrasound in hospitals. They had ultrasounds with ears. So she runs there, and you know, the ultrasound is she sees the results of the ultrasound, and Elizabeth is praising her, and John the Baptist is inside the womb kicking away, going crazy. It's like, the Messiah, that's who I'm heralding, that's who I'm preceding. He said, yep, the ultrasound is right. I mean, I know it's, you don't see it real clear on the outside, but on the inside, that thing is right. There's a living baby inside her. So that must mean there's a living baby inside me. So you begin to see a process of the journey of faith that God uses. He asks you to believe something that you can't quite get a hold of, and then he takes you down a road where he verifies facts that enable you to say, yeah, that's feasible. I mean, it's verifiable. It's provable. This is now feasible, but he still wants you to believe it, even though you can't prove. See, facts and science and history, they always been your experience in life. All the things, he throws these little things you with, these little caveats to tell you, I got a special gift for you. Don't think I've forgotten about, what if everybody, we had Christmas, everybody here got something but one person. What if I bought everybody in here a gift but one person? What a jerk I'd be. What about God? You think God's going to give everybody here a gift but not you? That's not God. God's a great God. He wouldn't do something like that. There's something special for you. And Christmas is something very, very special. And Mary's like, wow, man, this thing's true. And so she goes back and he kicks in Matthew chapter 1. Because she's already been conceived. Her cousin was 6 months. She waits till the baby, right, till the baby's born. She's 3 months pregnant. She's got the baby bump. And she goes back and she talks to her espoused husband, Joseph. And Joseph's like, well, you know, I mean, I never, and you're telling me you never, and yet you've got a baby. And in the Old Testament, you would put a woman away for something like that. What a great guy Joseph was. So here comes an angel. It's not just a regular angel. This is higher chain. Gabriel, I'm sorry. Father, I think I need to talk to Joseph on this one. And so the angel of the Lord comes. And he said, I know, don't worry about it, man. This is true. What's inside her is of the Holy Ghost. That's why I chose her. Because back there in the book of Isaiah 700 years ago, I promised that a virgin would conceive. And we call his name Emmanuel, which means, Joseph, God is with us. That's special. But when he's born, I want you to call his name Jesus. Capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. You only find that in two locations in the Bible. At the birth of Christ and at the death of Christ. Special times, man. But you're going to be the first one that's going to call him that name. The first human being. And when you do, it's going to be capital J, capital E, capital S, capital... Because I'm going to show you something nobody else is ever going to have the privilege to see. I wasn't there for the first Christmas. Joseph was. See, he's got something special for all of us, man. He knows what you need. And so Joseph is like, okay. And, you know, he's going to put her away privily, and God gives him a dream. The angel of the Lord talks to him, father to father, and he gets in. He says, okay, I got it. And so what God is doing, he's building his faith. He says the scriptures are the evidence of things hoped for. And this is the proof I'm giving you. Look at, now watch what happens. Mary had to believe, and then she need proof to build her faith. And then she got it, but she still had to believe. I'm giving you scripture as evidence, and Mary's evidence built upon your evidence, built upon this evidence and what you're seeing and this dream that you're having that you never had before. And I'm building your faith, this journey of facts that become verifiable, to a new place in your life where faith all over again, it's feasible. And he wants you to say it's true. It's true. It's always been true. It's always been true. And he wants you to base it always on this. This is what you need. He still gives them more dreams, but eventually the dreams stop. He wants you to be able to walk by faith according to the word of God. And so that's what happens in Matthew chapter number 1. He says, okay, Lord, he takes Mary to be his wife. So in one instance, he's espoused and she's betrothed to him because they promise each other they're going to get married. They're engaged, but it hasn't been consummated yet. So they're married and yet they're not. And so you look at it in Luke chapter 2, and this is where we pick it up again. So let's go back to verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. This is the series of Caesars. It's sometimes like the Herods. They can get confusing in the Bible. Caesar, at one time I used to think that's where Caesar salad came from, but it's not. There was this another guy, Caesar, that was somewhere in Italy, 1900s, that he discovered the salad. Amen. But you had your very first Caesar was Caesar, Julius Caesar, the greatest of all the Caesars. Julius, the grandfather of grandfathers, he was Mr. Caesar. And he had a nephew called Octavian, which is his favorite nephew, and he didn't have any sons or anything that could take the throne. And so eventually Julius Caesar, he said, I conquered state for his. Well, eventually somebody else came, somebody else saw, and somebody else conquered. And he was assassinated by his own people. And, that's where Brutus and a few other people came into play. But eventually Octavian, his nephew, gets the throne, and he changes his name to Caesar Augustus, which means the exalted one. He came to a place in his life where he actually began to believe he was a god. That happens with politicians sometimes. They begin to think they're God. And he, took the helm and brought in, a two-century relative period of time, somewhat peace in the midst of war and wickedness. It's called the Pax Romana, if you read about it in history. But he began to think of himself as a god. And of course, he didn't want to work because he's a god, so how's he going to get money? And so the Caesar Augustus, he put out a decree that all the world should be taxed. That's how I'll get money. That's how I'll pay for government. That's how I'll pay for my lifestyle and, the new robes I want and the new ship I want and the peacocks for my air conditioner, all that kind of business. And so he's thinking all these taxes so that he get more government and more food. And he didn't want to work. He's a politician. Yeah. That's nothing's changed, brother. No new thing under the sun until the sun came to this world on that first Christmas morning. Glory to God. It's our day to celebrate. Amen. Verification of the fact. So here he goes. So then he says in verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Who cares? It's in parentheses. You know what? The reason you care is because that's a historical fact that's verifiable to show you that I want your faith to be based on things that can be proven. And eventually it'll get to the point where you just got to trust me anyways because I'm God. I can't prove I'm God other than you believing that I'm God. But I'll give you all these facts to get you there. Remember that as we proceed and get to this point in time where I actually start preaching about the message we started with. So they go, he says, okay, so he goes an 80 or 90 mile trek, all went to be taxed. Do you think Caesar knew that what he was doing was fulfilling scripture? 700 years ago in Micah chapter 5, the Bible talks about Bethlehem, this little city town of Ephrata. He says, out of you is going to come forth the ruler of the world. Nobody's even thinking about that. And yet God is fulfilling scripture. See, God, the world, they have no idea they're fulfilling scripture. You and I need to get a hold of this because we have no idea we're fulfilling scripture. But we need to live our lives in obedience, recognizing somehow or another God's got this whole thing worked out. And he proves things to you and proves things to you. So I got you. There's another gift coming. Every year there's a gift coming. As a matter of fact, every day there's a gift coming. Once you understand the real meaning of Christmas. Amen. So you got these verifiable facts and it's still faith. I don't need faith anymore. I finally got it. 6 years. I don't need faith anymore. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I need more faith today than I did yesterday. Amen. Why? Because today wasn't here yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so now he has Mary and they travel with each other. Some people said he made her, she walked. There's no mention of an animal. But let me tell you right now, if my wife was great with child and we had to travel 80 miles, if I didn't have a donkey, she'd be on my back. Why? Because she'd make me. there's no donkey because it's not in the Bible. Well, it's not saying there isn't a donkey. Amen. I tend to think that, there was a donkey there. And so here they are, they're going, maybe a cart with it or whatever the case, and they're traveling these 80 miles up these mountains. She's great with child, and she's going to Bethlehem. They're going to Bethlehem to be taxed. Caesar just had no idea he's fulfilling scripture. They have no idea what this is all about. And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused, okay, verse 4, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. It's the city of bread. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. They have no idea what's getting ready to take place down the road. God's showing you little bits and pieces of what's happening. Just be patient. You're not here yet. Right here. Just what's he trying to show me right here? To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished and she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him. Women are always better rappers than guys. My wife tried to give me a lesson again this week, and it's just, it doesn't work, amen? It doesn't work. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. So these swaddling clothes wrapped him up so he couldn't, all you can see is his face. Beautiful little Jesus. And he's laying in a manger. And the manger is either stone or wood. You're not told. You could have, you want a wooden nativity scene, fine. Or stone. That's against the scripture. Whatever. Just please, shut up. Amen. And so he's there and he's laying inside there. You get the sense that it's a barn type environment. He doesn't say that it is, but you get a stable type environment because it's a feeding trough for animals. So here's the bread of life being put in a water or a food trough for animals. Nobody else is there. What about the wise men? Well, that's in Matthew 2. We're just in Luke 2. See, that's 2 years down the road. But right here, there's nobody there but Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus. And so, because there was no room for them in the inn. So how do you know that? Because they went there. They go to this place. There's no room for them. So we got to check out the no room inn. So here he goes. Just try to picture, Joseph sitting in the no room inn, waiting for somebody to explain to him, do they have a room or where they might be able to put him. And it's like, sorry, there's no room in the inn. Okay, I mean, God, if God knew that and he knows everything, why did he have me go there? He wants you to check out the no room inn. This is for nobody else but Joseph. And he's going to go, so now what? So they find a place, a barn or a stable or something, an environment like that. That's what I tend to depict it as or envision it as. There's a manger and Mary gives birth. There's no hospital there. There's no doctors or physicians or nurses or midwives or anything like that. But before he got there, he goes, how am I going to do this? How in the world am I going to do this? How are we going to do this? You got to check out at the No Room Inn. Because you know what? God doesn't need anybody's help. Mm-hmm. This isn't you providing a gift for God. This is God providing a gift for us. Mm-hmm. See, it's not about the gifts under the tree. It's about the gift that someday is going to be on that tree. Mm-hmm. Big difference. Amen. Wonderful difference. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. But he had to come into the world first. What a great God we have. So check out the note. So there's only 2 points of this thing I want to get across. So why do we go there? So he goes inside there. You just picture him inside there, and it's probably about the time. I mean, I tend to believe that he was born around the time of Feast of Tabernacles. I know the December 25th we celebrate. There's no set day you're told he was born. To me, I don't see how it can't be one of the feast days that God identifies in the book of Leviticus. So I tend to think it's the Feast of Tabernacles right there around September, sometime around there, which means he would have been conceived sometime in late December. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Anyways, they're there, and there's a lot of people there, and there's no room in the inn, and it's like, okay, now what? So he finds his place, the baby's going to be, but why did he stop? Why did he check out the no room inn? I want you to go there, I want you to check out, but what'd you see? I saw people celebrating. It's all packed. There's money. There's people. That's not a family house environment. You don't tell me you're not in a family environment. They're going to not make room for you, for your relative to come in and give birth to a child. Come on. And so you're there, and he's like, well, there's a lot of people there, and you got the whole money thing, but there's food, and there's family, there's fun. If it's a Feast of Tabernacles, like I believe it is, and I'd like the liberty to portray it this way so we can drive home the context of no room in the inn. The no room inn. We got to check it out. See what's inside there, and you've got food and family and laughter and lightheartedness and hot chocolate and hot food, and people are celebrating Christmas. You mean people are celebrating Christmas before Christ was born? Yeah. I celebrated Christmas for 20 years before I knew Christ the Lord was born. Yeah. But where did I celebrate? In the no room inn. That's where I celebrated. So what happened? I had to check out at the no room inn. And I had to see Christ in that manger before I understood what Christmas was really about. Me. How about you? 20 years, man, I celebrated Christmas. I had no idea what it really meant. Oh, these people, they celebrate. You got all these fun times and gingerbread houses and Christmas lights and Christmas cards and Christmas trees and decorations hanging on the gutters and the doors and the mistletoes and the missing toes and the memories and the elves and the shells and the buttered rolls and the rides and the journey and the cookies and the decorations and all the stuff that go along with it. But you're never going to know what Christmas is about until you check out at the No Room Inn and meet Christ in the manger. You won't know what it's about. There's a lot of people celebrating Christmas with all that stuff, but they don't know what it's about. Why? They haven't checked out. Go. I want you to check it out, Joseph. Nobody else. I want you to check it out, and I want you to leave. I want you to follow me. Get a hold of, see, as a Christian, because we're gonna get back to that point. The Bible talks about, I used to struggle with Christmas, you know, the Christmas tree and the idols. And you know, the idol is nothing. A tree is nothing. The problem is if you worship it.
Yeah.
You decide that between you. That's you and God, man. Amen? And so Paul says it like this. And it's always stuck out at me when he says, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I don't care if it's commercialized in this world. People are forced to think about Jesus Christ every Christmas. Take advantage of it, amen? I'm going to celebrate. I don't know the birthday of Christ. I told you on the other day. I mean, it's like you can't celebrate the birthday of Christ because you don't know the day. It's like little baby Jesus is going to cry if he was just a human, but he wasn't just a human. He's going to cry because, you know, I can't celebrate my birthday because nobody knows what day I was born. That's ridiculous. Amen? I don't know the day he was born, but I'm celebrating the birthday he was born. That's what Christmas is. We have something to celebrate.
Right.
But you got to check out at the No Room Inn. You got to check out. You know why? God said, you got to check that out. You can't stay there. Why? Because there's only room enough for one king on Christmas. Just one king. There's enough room. I mean, you can have 10,000 Buddhas there. You can have 100,000 Mohammeds, and you can have a zillion, quillion Gandhis, and, you know, all the Indian gods, and the Darwins, and the potpourri. But you can only have one Jesus. That's all you can have. So what do you got? You got to check out the No Room Inn. Well, what's wrong with all that? There's nothing necessarily completely wrong with all that. Till you get to the manger, then you determine what's wrong with that, you and God. Because every man, some man, people worship this day, some people worship this day. God's the God of all the day. You know, today's Sunday, don't you? Sunday. What you got to worship of? The sun. How about moon day? We say Monday, but how about moon day? Somebody took an O out of there. Took it out of my check, too. Somebody worship the moon. How about Saturn day? We say Saturday. Come on, brethren, let's be real here, all right? The whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm going to call it that. It's Christmas. I got it. I understand the pagan elements of it. But I know the meaning of Christmas. Why? Because I checked out at the No Room Inn. And I realized there's no room for Christ in that inn. And God doesn't need us to go there to celebrate Christmas. He needs us to go here to celebrate Christmas. And we can tell them because they simply don't know. You can see, just go tell them. Amen. We recognize that, understand that. We should understand that. They will never understand it until they check out at the No Room Inn. You need Christ in Christmas or it's not Christmas. Right. You hear the saying, he's the reason for this. He is. I mean, it's Christ must. Christmas. Increase. We decrease. Check out the No Room Inn. At some point in time in this Christmas, get aside all the hustle and bustle and nonsense. Of the people in the room, get outside, meet with them. How about saying happy birthday to Jesus? Amen. Check out at the No Room Inn. Why? Because there's only room for one king. Dear Santa, I just want the truth. Sorry, you got to check out at the No Room Inn. All are welcome at the No Room Inn except one. Why? Because he kicks everybody else out. You try to stuff 100-pound potatoes in a 50-pound sack, it all just starts coming out. trying to stick God into a room that isn't big enough to contain him. The room's not big enough. He goes into the world. He says, everybody can come see me. Amen. The no room in. Dear Santa Claus, I want a rainbow unicorn that poops ice cream. Dear Santa Claus, I don't think our baby brother should have presents this year. Dear Santa Claus, you see, woe unto those people that take the faith of little children. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. But there's only room for one king on Christmas. I know who the king of Christmas is. In the inn. Check out the inn. No room in. Please find me my lizard. I miss him so much. And I only had him for one day, so please find me my lizard. I gave you, by the way, and your reindeer some treats. Dear Santa, I want to order a French fries, a computer, and a chicken nugget. Dear Santa, please leave before 6 a.m. My alarm goes off at 6 o'clock. P.S., my stocking is on the left. Dear Santa, you didn't bring me anything good last year, and you didn't bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance. Signed, Alfred. Signed, Alfred. We'll change your name first. My revised list for Santa, Mike Jr. I want candies, and I want toys, and $29. Dear Santa, you better bring my pony this year. Dear Santa, I want Simba's dad to wake up. Dear Santa, I think you're a fat man and I'm not giving you any cookies because Mrs. Claus said you're on a diet. I sure hope you brought everything I asked for. Dear Santa, if you're bringing... See, this is the king of Christmas. You know the person that comes from the north with a white beard and gifts, flying a four-footed beast through the air without wings? His nose is dipped in red like blood. Somebody knows the scriptures that wants to be the king of Christmas. It's Jesus Christ, man. There's only one king. We're going to check it out. Amen. Dear Santa, if you're bringing presents with batteries, please include the batteries. Dear Santa, I want pizza. Dear Santa, I think I was a good boy this year and should get lots of presents. Dear Santa, me and my little brother have been trying our best to be good, but first things first, I would like to be an elf on the shelf. I've been practicing. I can sit on the shelf for like half an hour. Come on, brother. There's only room enough for one king. Sooner or later, Joseph is going to die. Between the ages of 12 to 33, he passes on. But on that first Christmas morning, he was the first man to call the name of Jesus, the first to claim that's Emmanuel, the first to see the fame of the fulfillment of Scripture, the first Christmas light that ever shined. The head was crowning. The head was crowning, and he saw the baby come out of the matrix. His name shall be called Jesus, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. God's got a special gift for everybody. Nobody else saw that. He saw it before Mary. Isn't that something? Here's a first year old, a first grader was given a Dear Santa letter. And everybody write your letter, hand it into the teacher. Dear Santa, I'm supposed to write you a letter. So the little girl wrote A, and she saw it through herself, one letter. I'm going to get a gift. So she said A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. You can't forget that once you learn it, amen? Now I know my ABCs, won't you come and sing with me? Dear God, dear God, dear God, can I write you a letter? I just want the truth. A is for Alpha, B is for Bread, C is for Captain, D is for Daystar, E is for Emmanuel, F is for Fountain, G is for Glory, H is... There's no room in the inn for more than one king, brother. Amen? He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For God, this is the greatest mystery of godliness. God! A little baby God! I'm going to hit the very first words out of his mouth. And I heard... God, the humility of God to put himself in that kind of a position. Mm. There's only room enough for one king. How do you know that? You got to check out. It's you, Joseph, that has to leave. This is Micah. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Glory, head, I am. Jesus, king, lion, man, and the Houston, omega, prophet, the quick, the rock, the savior, the trinity, the tidings and truth, the Urim and the Thummim, the virgin born. Amen. The way, the water, the wind, the wisdom of God, the express image of God, the zeal of the Lord. What about why? Why? Because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish. But the very first Christmas, I didn't understand it till I was 20 years old. You say, what do you mean? I had to check out at the No Room Inn. There was enough experiences in my life that God said, all this stuff is verifiable, but you have to come to me by faith. And when you look on that in that manger, you're seeing the body of God Almighty wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that's God Almighty in that little baby's body. You're going to tell me that's not a miracle of miracles? And the second thing, there's only room for one king. Second and last point. As you read through Luke chapter 2, this all takes place. You checked out at the No Room Inn. You see this? There's only room for one king. And then you continue on and all of a sudden there's songs that take place. There's only room for one to sing. One to sing. The only one person you sing about. You say, who's that? Jesus Christ. You don't understand. I used to sing Christmas carols before I got saved. But after I got saved, they're all brand new to me. Mm. Why? It's about the king. I'm going to sing about the king. Mm. And so the angel of the Lord, for unto you was born this day in the city of David, a savior, goes to the shepherds in the field, and he tells them, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. The Bible says you're supposed to praise God with song and thanksgiving. Mm. You know, the morning stars sing at the creation, the Bible talks about. They're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. You've got to take that down a notch, Brother John. That's the secret to that. To high. And he saith, and on earth good peace, goodwill towards men. You know, a lot of the Christmas cards, they leave out glory to God in the highest. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have peace on earth, goodwill towards men, any Christmas. But when you understand what Christmas is, brother, puts a new song in your heart. And it came to pass as the angels were going away, the shepherds said one to another, let's go check this out in Bethlehem. Let's go see if this thing come to pass, which the Lord made known to us. And they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, now they believed it. Well, they believed it, but they questioned it. They went and they proved it. And God said, now I want you to step out on faith. That's the Messiah. That's the King of Kings. They made known, so what I want you, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. You know what you want you to do? I want you to go tell people where? At the No Room Inn. You see, they simply don't know. Whether they want to know is besides the point, but they can't know until somebody tells them. God told Joseph, check out that No Room Inn. This is my gift to you. Now go tell others. Amen. Check out that No Room Inn. You got to check out, man. Amen. You got to repent of sin. There's no room. Sin has to go, and it will go when you come to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. Understand this. There's nothing wrong with it when you go back and you understand as long as Christ is the King. You got to figure all this out. You ever hear this? You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. You ever hear that song? Mm-hmm. How about this one? Tell me the difference. Hark the herald angels, Charles Wesley, right from here. With Mendelssohn, whatever the guy's name is, but put it together. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Don't they sound different? I'm not saying you can't sing the other one. I'm saying if that's all you're singing, brother, you're in the No Room Inn. You got to check out and see what God wants you to say about Christ the King. And it changes your song. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph in the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, proclaim what? Christ is born where? In Bethlehem. And here you go, the No Room Inn. Oh, Christmas tree, how are thy leaves so verdant? Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, much pleasure doth thou bring me. That's when it's a problem. You understand? That's when it's a problem. Amen? Yeah. You got to check out of the No Room Inn. And God's going to put a different song in your heart. Like what? Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night. You know the song? And the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight. What are they saying? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw him, say, what's wrong with that? You want to sing that? Okay, that's all right, but you got to check out that No Room Inn if you want to see what singing about Christmas is all about. It's not about Rudolph the red-nosed, but that's okay. I'm not telling you can't do that. I'm telling you, I've been there, and I'm going right back to you and telling you, you need to check out of the No Room Inn, because there's no room to sing about Jesus in this area of your life that you're trapped in. You've shut the door. Amen? Mm-hmm. God's standing at the door knocking. Say, man, open up. Let me show you the meaning of Christmas. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye, oh, come ye to where? Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let... You know, you go to your family's house, and you could sing all this. You could eat the chestnuts and watch the football games and some Christmas holiday movies and all the things they got and the silly little things. I'm not telling you you can't do that between you and God. All I'm telling you, at some time tomorrow, Wednesday, this Christmas, check out of that No Room Inn. Something, get in a corner somewhere with God. Say, thank you, Creator of the universe, for coming to this world in the body of a man, growing up to be a man in the body of a man, and dying for man's sins. Thank you for that wonderful gift. Please tell me you'll do that. Say amen. Please tell me at some point, even, please, somebody, you got to do that this Christmas, because that's what it's about. Amen. You look at the world and they sing all these songs. There's no place like home for the holidays. No matter how far away you roam. You want to see? There's not. I love these songs, man. I sing them, but that's not what it's about. Amen. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is? When angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds, why, you see what they're singing? This is a theology. This is a meaning. This is that I met Christ, and song bubbles out of my heart on Christmas. Amen. I love Christmas because my Savior became a man. Amen. The world doesn't understand. You got to check out of that. You got to check out of that No Room Inn. Come on, Brother Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul with a corncob pipe and a button nose. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But you got to check out of that. You got children. Sometimes you got to get them away from that and say, but this is what it's about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Son, daughter, mm-hmm. Christ is what it's about. Those are all fun things. I'm not telling you necessarily they're sinful, because you're dreaming of a white Christmas. Silver bells, silver bells. All I want for Christmas is, God, all I want for Christmas is, I just want the truth. I saw mommy kissing. That's a, no amen. That's kind of a good song, amen. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry... Hey, everybody, we wish you a Merry Christmas. How about Jesus? You got to check out of that room, man. The No Room. They don't have room for Jesus. Come on, you go to a Christmas party at work. They'll sing all these things. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Ramadan and, you know, Shamadan and Kwanzaa and all that. What about Jesus Christ? Amen. Oh, the weather outside is frightful. That's a cool song. Amen. But the fire is so delightful. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, over and over and over and over again, brother. You gotta stop and pause. Check out of that. Check out of that No Room in. Let God put a different song in your heart. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay in fields. knows where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. See, brother, this is what Christmas is supposed to be about to you if you've checked out from the No Room Inn. There's no room for Christ the King. There's no room for Christ in songs. They don't want you singing about Christ. Silent, one of the top songs of all time. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. I'm closing up. Let every heart prepare him. Room. Prepare him.
Room.
I see a door knock. Room. Come on, man. It's Christmas. I know you got the gifts and you got the bills and you got the debts that come associated with that. I always spend more than I should. Amen. As I just give in to it. I think it's love and it's not love. I gotta check my love dial. Yeah. We're coming to a close. Go tell them. People don't know. It's okay. They don't understand. They're in the No Room Inn. So you knock on the door and you tell them, listen, you got to check out of No Room Inn. Let me tell you what Christmas is really about. They don't want to come. They don't have to come. But don't you stay in there. Don't you stay in there. You got to check out of that No Room Inn. Go to that manger. Understand what it's about. It was the night before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. All stockings were hung by the chimney with care in the hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Then what to my wondering eyes should appear when I went to the manger, the Lord Jesus was there. No room at the inn, 'twas full of my sin. Only faith could I bring and praise could I sing. Ah, the anticipation of what a wonderful gift that God gave us on Christmas. I have to close with an illustration I've given a number of times. It's a K-Man classic. One of my son's name is Caleb. I just call him. He's called K-Man. He's K-Man. It just fits him, man. If you know him, you'd know. 25 days before Christmas, December 1st. Dad, guess what? Okay, going to bed at night when he was little. 25 days before Christmas. Dad, guess what, Dad? What? 24 days before Christmas. 23 days before Christmas. 22 days. Christmas morning. Dad, it's Christmas. Guess what? It's Christmas, Dad. It's Christmas. He plays with all his gifts, eats all his food, you know, gets all red because he's a hot wing king, we call him, man. Goes to bed at night and says, Dad, guess what? I said, what? 365. We're supposed to have faith as little children, brethren. Amen. There's no room in the inn, just one king, and one you're supposed to sing about. I'm not telling all that other, stuff. That's fine. Just open the door. Check out of the No Room Inn. Go spend time with Jesus.
Amen.
Go back there. Deal with your family members, your loved ones. However you want to celebrate Christmas, just don't forget Christ is a must in Christmas.
Amen.
Lord, bless this lesson and this sermon. We have honored and glorified you and given us a deeper appreciation of how great thou art. Thank you for the love gift of Jesus.